Okay, good evening. I'm going to try not to talk for too long. The impact of tonight's message is actually not in the words that I share, but in your response. So I'm putting all the pressure on you tonight. So we're going to stay in the book of John. Is that fine? So if you've got your Bible, you can open to John chapter 6. And we're going to read the first... let's say 13 verses. John 6 from verse 1 to 13. Okay, so it says this. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. So they followed him for what they could see, what they could get, eh? Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Then Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces together, or that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So this is a well-known story. It is the only miracle of Jesus found in all 4 Gospels. And what I find quite interesting about it is, it's like quite a mundane thing. Jesus is giving them food. You know, we just heard about Jesus the living water, and Jesus the bread of life, and Jesus doing the miracles, and raising the dead, and all that kind of stuff. But here Jesus is just giving them food. I find it all like, man, that's like you're just filling their stomachs. But what's very interesting is the very next chapter, Jesus leaves this crowd, the crowd realize he's gone, and they find him again, and Jesus then like says, "Why are you following me? You're following me because I filled your stomach." And then he goes into the discourse where he says, "I am the bread of life. You need to eat of me. You need to drink of my blood if you want life." And at that moment, most of the people there turned their backs on Jesus. So that whole bread thing, I think there was significance in, I'm going to feed you with bread for your stomach, but actually you need to feed on me. And that's when the rejection came. Straight away, right afterwards. They'd just seen and experienced a miracle. But that wasn't enough for these people, because they actually weren't after salvation. They were after what they could get. Which is quite a sad situation. So the nice thing about the story in that regard is that Jesus is, God is, full of compassion and wants to and is willing to satisfy even the most basic need. The most basic need that we can have, God is willing to satisfy that. And I find that really encouraging. You know, I don't think it's by chance that in the Lord's Prayer, one of the aspects of the prayer is, "Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give us what we need for today." But that's not sort of the point. I'm going to share a couple of points, but the main point I'll get to just now. Now, there are 3 characters in the story. There's Philip, there's Andrew, there's the boy. Who do you not want to be like out of those 3? No? You don't want to be like Philip. Philip's the guy who counts the cost. He already worked it out mathematically. You know, he wasn't even the treasurer. Judas was. And we know how well Judas did in his situation. But Philip was the kind of, he was like the realist. It's like, it's impossible. Where are we going to get bread? Look how much it's going to cost. It's almost like, no, we can't do this. So why do you think Jesus actually asked Philip? I think for this very reason. Because he knew Philip was going to come up with excuses as to why not. Because Jesus asked him. And then you have Andrew. Andrew is the connector. He is the guy who brings. So in John chapter 1, it's Andrew who brings Simon, Peter, to Jesus. In the feeding of the 5,000, it's Andrew who brings the boy to Jesus. He's into the networking thing. Andrew's the guy, you know what, I don't actually have a clue how this is going to work out, but I found this boy and he's got some fish and he's willing to share it. Jesus, you take over. I like Andrew. Because Andrew doesn't understand how this is going to work, but you know what? He brings what he can find, and he brings people to Jesus because he knows Jesus has the answer. And then you got this boy. So if Scripture says it's a boy, or he's a boy, then he's younger than 13. So he's a youngster, and he's got his lunch. And I like the boy because he was willing to share his lunch. I don't know, you know, you've got boys here, you know the whole philosophy of being hangry. You know, you're so hungry, you're angry. As a boy, he was willing to give up his lunch to Jesus. I think that's an amazing thing. And the beauty of the whole story is he still got to eat his food. So to put it into context, what makes this an amazing miracle is that in our context, a Steers burger and chips, Steers just up the road, Steers burger and chips fed the entire population of Hilton. Think about that. One Steer burger, some chips fed the entire population of Hilton. It's amazing. God does the amazing. There is nothing too difficult for God. There were a couple of things I wrote that I thought were quite clever. It says, little is much when God is in it. Jesus offers more than enough. Because what happened? At the end, and again, there's a lesson that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. So what does he say to them? Go pick up the leftovers. And how many leftovers were there? How many baskets? 12. How many disciples were there? 12. It's like, you know what? Patkos. Here you go. You didn't believe this could happen. You were trying to come up with excuses. Why not? I just have shown you that I am the God of more than enough. And with little, I can make so much more that even you score patkos to take home. So I find that quite amazing. The other thing that's really important in the story is Jesus chose to perform the miracle through people. And this is where I start getting to the point. Jesus chose. He could quite easily have said, Lord, give these people food. He could have turned the rocks into bread. Jesus is God. He could have done that. But there's a lesson he wanted to teach the disciples. He was instilling within them a belief, faith in himself. And he also wanted the disciples to be blessed in being part of solving a problem. So that's why he uses the disciples. We know that God could do anything he wanted to do. He can operate in any way he wants to. But in the world in which we live in today, he chooses to operate through people. Conduits of blessing. Now, we often have excuses. We often are like Philip. Lord, it's impossible. It can't be done. And you almost shut down the whole miracle before it even starts. Or you can be like Andrew. Lord, I don't have a clue, but you know, I know this person and he's got this and this and this. And you sort of bring the connection. Or you can be like the boy. Lord, this is all I have. There's no ways naturally that this is going to feed everyone, but I'm giving you what I have. You do it. So look at the way it works. The boy brings the food to Jesus. What does Jesus do with it? He blesses it. And then what does he do? He gives it to the disciples, and the disciples hand out. When did the multiplication take place? When did the food start to multiply? When he blessed it, did it suddenly start expanding? It started to multiply as they gave it out. It's a great story as to living a life open-handed, always being willing to give, always looking for the opportunity to be a blessing. The other wonderful point to note in this story, particularly with so many youngsters here, is age is no obstacle to being used by God. Age is no obstacle. There's only one thing that is crucial, and that is, are you available? Are you willing? Are you able to say, you know what, God, I don't understand it, but I'm willing. I'm willing to trust you, to step out of our comfort zones and to give what we have. Because multiplication happens in giving. Multiplication happens in giving. You see, sometimes in the case of the church and in our own lives, we look at the problems and the needs of the world and we say, it's too much. What can I do? It's too much. And sometimes that even stops us from doing the little that we can do. God wants us to give what we have, even if it is minuscule, so that He can multiply it and use it. So let me just tell you a couple of stories. You might not know this about Charmaine and I, but we are or were responsible or involved in building an orphanage in Mozambique. Our role in the building of the orphanage in Mozambique was like this. We had a conversation. We visited an orphanage. It was an absolute mess. It was terrible. We had a conversation with friends of ours who were living in Mozambique at that time, distraught because they had no purpose. And the conversation went like this. We really need to do something. We can organize them food. And then, I don't know if it was me or someone asked the question, why don't we build them a proper facility? Bam. These friends of ours suddenly had purpose. It was like, this is why we're in Mozambique. Our contribution was tiny, but we have been involved in building an orphanage in Mozambique. Give the little that you have. Do you know that millions of rands and thousands of lives have been saved in northern Mozambique? Because I was an Andrew. Years ago, I connected a donor with US dollars to a missions organization in northern Mozambique. Bam. The beauty of it is I got no reason to do anything. I just, Lord, I'm available. I'm available. God just wants us to be available and to see the possibilities of what He is willing to do. And He gets all the glory. Because in those two little stories, our role was so small, minuscule, but crucial, because we were playing that role of bringing the bread and the fish to God and leaving it to Him. And God can do so much more than we can understand. So two verses and then we're going to close. So Romans 12 verse 1 says, this is that whole thing of being available. So 12 verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, offer your lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You read a couple of verses further on, it speaks about embracing your role. If your gift is to serve, serve. If your gift is to give, give. If your gift is this, do it. But it starts with that availability of, Lord, I offer my all for you. I'm available. Use me. And then we know this verse quite well. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Says, now to Him, that's God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory. His power. He is able to work in and through us, in His power, to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask and imagine. We live in a world today that needs faith to rise, that needs Christians, young and old, whatever situation you find yourself in, to say, Lord, use me, and then be open to the opportunities, open to being used by God. One last little story. 4 years ago, my brother, who at that time, and he still is in Australia, sent me a message, tongue in cheek. Hey, Neil, I'm going to Sri Lanka in 1 month's time, do you want to join me? And because it was tongue-in-cheek, he didn't expect anything. He was like, yeah, 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 he was just being nice. And I felt God say, you know what? You can do this. You can do this. It's like God gave me a yes. And we had no money. We had nothing extra. But within a month, I'd raised 25,000 rand for the trip, being available. The beauty of it is, in my budgeting and everything, we used 22,500 rand to cover all the expenses. So I had 2,500 rand to bless pastors there in Sri Lanka who, I don't know how much they earn every month. I think it's a pittance. But it was like, wow, Lord, because I said yes, because I believed in the impossible, you've blessed me to be able to go on this mission. But here I am, on the other side of the world, being able to say to pastors, you know what? Here's something to help pay the bills. Here's something to enlarge your own work. Here's something to bless you with. God can do so much with so little. So can we bow our heads? And so my question to you with your head bowed, with your eyes closed, is number one, are you available? Are you available? And whilst you're answering that question, are you available? Yes, I am, Lord. I'm not sure, Lord. I don't know where you are. The next question is, are you willing to bring what you have? You don't need to bring everything. You don't need to be Superman, superhero. Are you willing to give God just what you have? And let Him do the rest. Let Him do the miraculous. Let Him do the multiplication. So with those two questions in mind, am I available? Am I willing to give God the little I have? I just want to pray for us. So Heavenly Father, You are the God of the impossible. You the God who does miracles. But more than that, You have chosen to work through ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Tonight, Lord, we open our hearts. In faith, we say, here, God, use us. We don't have much to offer. We might not have much materially. Maybe we don't feel we have much spiritually, intellectually, whatever it may be. God, but we give You what we have, and we ask You to multiply it so that it can feed the multitude, so that it can bless and empower and change thousands and thousands of people just from this little that we offer You. Open our eyes, open our hearts to see opportunities when they come knocking on our doors, and give us the faith to step out of our comfort zones and live a very exciting, scary, faith-filled life. Lord, we open ourselves and say, God, here we are. Here we are. We are available. Use us. Work in and through us. And give us the honor and privilege of being a blessing in the world in which we live in. We thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen.